Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Hey guys, if you like our show, do me a favor and take a moment to share us with your friends and leave a rating and some feedback in your podcast app. I'm super excited to be sitting in the studio with today's guest. She's an actor who broke out with her first starring role on the Australian fantasy drama Beastmaster, everyone's favorite. Soon after, she landed a role as the alien Tess in the hit series Roswell, and then went on to play Claire in ABC's Emmy Award-winning series Lost. She's appeared on the big screen in several films and recently wrapped up 7 years of portraying the warm and loving Belle on ABC's Once Upon a Time. She has a most adorable toddler and is currently very pregnant. Emily DeRobin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's always funny listening to stuff about yourself.
Really? I mean, it's all big accomplishments. You know, I have to clear up something just right off the bat, just a random fact. You are of the ravine. You have nothing to do with the large, hefty, black, crow-like bird.
No, it's, yeah, of the ravine.
Of the ravine.
Which I used to think was super romantic.
Why did that change?
Because then I looked up the meaning when I was about 9, and it's what a ravine is, a ditch with a bit of water.
Oh, yeah, that's not as...
I was like, a ravine, that's so cool and French, just like my ancestors of the ditch.
Well, it's not the big, hefty crow.
No, I guess, well, would that be better? Should we
Raven?
Change it?
I don't know.
Raven. A lot of Americans say DeRaven.
I would have said DeRaven.
As opposed to, like, DeRaven is what I grew up with.
Raven? So DeRaven. It's not Raven either.
DeRaven. DeRaven. I mean, neither are right, because neither are with a French accent.
I'm glad that
DeRaven.
DeRaven. That's what I would have said, but that makes me hungry for food. I don't know why. Anybody speaks French or Chinese, I get hungry.
I don't speak Chinese.
Well, French.
Sorry.
Do you speak French?
No, not really. A little bit. I learned and I was really good. And then if you don't use it, then it just kind of went out the window.
A little ditch with some water in it. That's great because I've been looking for, it's our anniversary tomorrow, actually. And I've been looking
Is
for,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, congrats. How many years?
22.
Wow.
I'm starting to get the hang of it.
Just now.
Yeah. It takes a minute. God, I don't want to waste any time. So much that I want to ask you about. I want to know where you came from and how you came to knock your career out of the park. Number two, your first pregnancy, your birth and your motherhood experiences. And number three, your current pregnancy and birth plans. Each one of those could easily be an hour podcast. So I'm going to jump right in. Where are you from?
I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and grew up in and around Melbourne within an hour from the city.
With caramello koalas.
Yes. And Freddo frogs.
Somebody brought me, and Vegemite, which does not
not
sound...
Not together. That would be gross.
Vegemite sounds gross all by itself.
No, it's so good.
That's what everybody from Australia says.
I love it. Vera, my daughter, my toddler, loves it.
She does. Love it too. What's in it?
It's like fermented. It's like the yeasts that are fermented from making beer initially is how they found this sort of magical substance at the bottom of whatever they make
the
beer
brew?
In. Yeah, ages, like years and years and years ago. It's not how they make it now, but it's like this sludge and people are like, that's good.
Delish.
And it's got lots of vitamin B in it and they got a little fancy song they used to sing on the commercials in the 50s.
Really?
Look it up. It's got a whole history. It's really cool.
I mean, somebody
puts
saw
a rose
it.
In every cheek was their slogan.
A rose in every cheek.
Yeah, they're like, puts a rose in every cheek.
Maybe they could be a sponsor.
Yeah.
It's, somebody saw a chicken come out of an egg and thought to eat it. So I guess,
it's all got to start somewhere.
Pioneers.
Yes.
Food pioneers. So you grew up in and then Freddo Frog and Caramello Koala, somebody brought some for me. And I don't travel much, but it made me sort of want to go to Australia. But then I realized the flight is like 500 hours.
They're the reasons you want to go? That's terrible.
Well,
that's
awful. That's the way to my heart.
Yeah, it's far. But you can go direct. If you can sleep on a plane, it's not bad.
I can't sleep on a plane.
Okay, we'll figure that out. And then
maybe once in a while, first class, I can sleep up there.
Yeah.
In a regular seat, I'm just lucky to squeeze in. Then I try not to get out the entire flight.
What about just in the galley? Just like
just lay on the Maybe I should be a flight attendant. So you're from Australia,
yes.
And then what was growing up there like?
It was awesome. I had a great upbringing. Lots of outside time. My parents, we never had a farm or anything, but we always had a ton of animals. And the two properties I was raised on predominantly until I was about 12, both were a couple of acres. We had a Shetland pony. We had a donkey
who
I called Eeyore when I was like 2. We had chickens and rabbits briefly, mainly chickens and the horses and cats, and dogs we only had for a little bit. Cats we always had.
Was it
birds, like we had an aviary.
Was it like a working donkey or just like a hangout?
No, he was
play
just,
with
a,
your donkey,
just or? A hangout donkey.
Like Shrek had a donkey?
Just like Shrek, yeah, just like Shrek. no, just for, yeah, just to have because we had the land and, you know.
Is that where
my,
your love
I guess
for
my
animals
mom's
comes?
An animal lover. She still wants an alpaca. I'm like,
Oh, an alpaca. I just went to an alpaca farm.
Oh, did you? They're
it was
so
amazing.
Sweet.
They're kind of sweet, but they slobber when they eat.
Yeah.
I found out
and
the
they cannot
way.
Be. Maybe that's the wrong, that's
they're
the wrong word.
They're,
they can be, yeah, they're very
they
they're
be,
very pretty.
They can be, aggressive with each other, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're really cute to look at, and they're so soft.
They're very soft. But no, I still love the outdoors, but I was always outside.
Did you grow up with TV?
Yeah, but not, I don't know, not much. Not like, not at all. I have to be home from school to watch something. I was never that kid.
It was just there.
And it was just there. I mean, there was certain things I liked. We have a show called Play School, which is like a, kind of like a Mr. Rogers, I guess, that I watched when I was little. That show's really cool, actually. It's really educational. And, you know, they make things. It's not, it's a slow moving, singing songs kind of show for little kids. But then, as I grew up, I was never really into kids' stuff when I was watching it anyway. I really liked, what did I like? I liked I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, yeah.
And Bewitched and I Love Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
They were my shows that I liked to watch sort of between, I don't know, 7 and 10 when everyone else was like, oh, my God, we've got to watch Melrose Place. I'm doing a... and then I got into Hitchcock films, too, quite early on.
Like as an early teenager?
Yeah, I guess early teenager or right before. Just like mystery, murder mysteries were always. I still love murder mysteries.
Hmm. You went to high school in Australia as well?
I went to my grade school in Melbourne and I completed high school, but I did it through doing full-time ballet.
You're
not
a dancer.
Like not by, yeah. I
did you dance as a little kid?
No, my mom took me when I was about Vera's age, around 2. Mm-hmm. Or something.
That's pretty little.
I hate it. No, I hated it. I went one time and never went back. And then I started, I was a really super active kid. So I started doing really well with gymnastics at school. And when I was about 8, they scouted and for this Olympic training group for gymnastics. And they took me. I mean, not like took me.
They took me.
They took me.
We'll have to take the child.
They asked if I wanted to go train at this Olympic training place for where you go, I guess.
For gymnastics.
Yeah, when I was 8. So I went, I did that for about 6 months and the joy just left it because it just became such a, okay, you're going for an hour before school and the place is an hour away from where you live and, it's, and then an hour after school.
It
was just, yeah, and it was just the joy of movement and, you know, I liked bar routines. I liked the floor routine stuff. So I was always more drawn to the dancier aspect of it as opposed to like a vault or something. And I don't know, kind of just fell out of like with it. And as much as my mom's always encouraged me to do well at what I do, she's never pushed me if I don't like something. So we just stopped doing it. And then I thought, well, I'll try ballet again and then just fell completely in love with that at 9. And so once I hit high school age, I was doing just full time. And my dad, who was a doctor, a GP, he sort of stayed down. We were like an hour and a half outside the city where we were living.
Hmm.
And to go to like the good ballet schools, they were all much closer to the city. Or
oh, you
the city.
Studied ballet.
So
like, for real.
Yeah, so my mom and I sort of traveled around to these different ballet schools for the next like 5-6 years until I was like 16, and we'd sort of home education, distance education, it's called there,
mm-hmm.
where you have time if you're at like a full-time ballet school, they give you some time during the day
for studies,
and then the rest you do at home. Ends up being most of it you have to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, we have the Australian Ballet School, which is, I don't know, I suppose New York City Ballet School is the biggest in the States, though you guys have such awesome companies out here and there's quite a lot of them. For us, like the big Australian company is the Australian Ballet Company, and that's in Melbourne, in the city, and they start doing, I don't know, probably around 10 years old, like an associate program. where you can do like a class with the ballet school teachers, like the official ballet school teachers once a week, because they have a three-year course before you cross your fingers and hopefully get into the company, right? So I got into that and did that, and then I got into the school, which was a three-year course, when I was 15, I guess, just shy of 16. And I completed a year and then decided I didn't really fall out of love with it. I fell in love, I think, a little bit with being a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
And the ideal...
They seem not that compatible.
The ideal of wanting... I don't know. I was like, I'm going to be an actor. So I decided I'd buy these acting books and do a week workshop with NIDA, which is this like friggin' fantastic acting school. Another whole thing. Like you'd go there for years and study if you were going to study
acting. A serious actor.
Yeah. I guess I'm not a serious actor.
I don't know. But I'm saying at the time you just did a
Yeah. They travel around Australia and do like, yeah, little workshops for younger people. So I did that to see if I liked it and to see if they thought I was any good. Got my VHS tape of my monologues of, what did I do? I did something from Clueless, and then I did a scene with other people from Breakfast Club.
OMG, do you still have them?
I do somewhere.
I want to see them.
I need to pull them out. I need to convert
it
from
VHS. See that.
I
can convert it for you.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You're like, okay.
Very talented.
You are very talented.
With old stuff.
With old stuff. Don't give me that newfangled stuff.
Yeah. What's that phone then? Has no buttons.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I don't know what happened from there. Oh, okay. I had a cousin. I still have a cousin. She lives in LA. She's a lot older. She's my mother's sister's daughter.
Okay.
And my parents were a lot older, so... Basically, everyone except me is a lot older, or deceased.
Yeah, because your siblings are much older than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I have two older sisters from a separate marriage. Mm-hmm. Who are, one's 16 years older, one's 17 years older.
Right.
So I'm actually closer in age to my eldest nephew.
Wow.
It's kind of funny. But so I came out to LA just to be like, I'm going to check it out here.
When
I
was that?
I think I was just shy of 17.
Oh, wow. Pretty
just
early.
Shy of 17. And I came out and stayed with my cousin and just kind of, I don't know, I had all these places that I had written down. Yeah, I was basically 17. I'd written down all these places that I was going to check out and all these things I was going to do. Like, okay, have all these things written from this magazine. This is where you should eat. This is where you should go hang out. And this is this casting director and this. And started to kind of familiarize myself
Were people with you? Did your family come with you?
My mom came
your
out.
Mom came
and then
you.
I was with my cousin.
Your cousin.
And her
okay.
husband, staying with them. Then I went back home. And then I went on some auditions and got that Beastmaster job where I got to wear green body paint and wear backwards feet.
My favorite. Oh, my God. I need a picture of that, too.
You obviously don't follow me on Instagram.
Is it on there?
It's very depressing. I'm kidding. I don't know. Probably. I think I've probably posted like a flashback. You've jotting that down in your notes.
Yes. I want pictures and video. And wait, what is this Instagram thing you speak of?
Don't worry. It's newfangled.
Okay. Forget it.
So I got that job, which was sort of, I don't know, working on that show. I think I auditioned for maybe like three or four jobs, and that was one of them. And it just kind of happened, and I got it. I was going to do that, or I was going to do Neighbours. But Neighbours, who wanted me to test for Neighbours, which is a huge show over in Australia. It's like a huge evening soap opera. It's been on for like years and years, decades and decades. Neighbours and Home and Away.
Okay.
But then they told me, yeah, so it's a 10-year contract. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Like I'll be like 27.
Yeah, well, when you're 17, 10 years is like
even now, but then yeah. So I was like, yeah, no. So I did the Beastmaster, and that was such a fun gig, and it wasn't every episode, but it was it was quite a few of them, and for about a year and a half. Then I got a call from the States because I was playing an American demon.
Mm-hmm.
She was an American demon. Probably like the worst accent I've ever done because everyone on that set was Australian, including the dialogue coach. So that didn't really help. And I got a call to audition for Roswell, which was an American show, because they're like, oh, hey, can she come in, thinking that I lived here.
Oh, they didn't realize you were there.
Yeah, they thought I was American. And then I was like, oh, well, cool, I'll come back out. And it was pilot season as well, just when everything new cast. So came out and got that job, which was like 7 episodes.
Uh-huh.
And then thought, oh, well, I'll be going home after that. But they extended the contract to be a series regular, so I stayed on that
job.
That's
really cool that they called you.
Yeah, kidding. It was awesome. Everything just kind of fell into place. This whole thing that I had, this whole planned journal though of, all right, I'm going to get this agent, I'm going to bring this tape and give it here. And I think at some point I made up a fake resume with like fake Australian commercials that I had never done and given to casting directors.
Welcome to America. That's what we do.
Yeah. Like we can't get away with that now. Standard. People would just Google it. Back then they'd be like, oh, of course she must have done that.
People still try. And then you just grew and grew. I mean, you've had some pretty phenomenal roles.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. I mean, it's a lot of hard work.
ABC's going to be strange without you.
What is?
ABC.
ABC.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know.
What are they doing?
You're one of the weird people. I mean, you're not weird. One of the people who I met on TV before I met in real life and then didn't realize that you were the same person because of my face blindness.
Right, which I find fascinating.
Oh, it's a weird thing.
It is a very weird thing. It's kind of cool.
But and then also one of your, and also one of your once upon a time friends who my wife watched. I also have a very hard time watching TV because I can't tell the characters apart either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't really watch that much TV. But my wife was watching Once Upon a Time religiously, and I had no idea, first of all, that you were on it. Or that...
Ginny.
Yeah, right? Ginny was on it.
That's funny.
We also got to meet in person. You were telling me, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this show Once Upon a Time. And then you mentioned that she's on. I'm like, oh, my goodness. It just, like, blew me over.
That's
that
so
I've been
funny.
Watching you guys for so long. Anyway, that's just weirdness about me. and then movies. How do you like movies versus TV?
I like both for different reasons, I guess. It's more about what the character is and who the people are you're working with.
Rather than the process and the format.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about a film, what kind of film too, because like an independent film, you've got even less time to shoot. You're even more rushed than episodic TV. If you're on like a decent length feature film with a good big budget and you've got more time, that's nice. Because you've got more time to spend and you don't feel rushed.
But on the flip side, doesn't it ever feel like you do it and it takes so long before it shows up anywhere? Does that gap ever bother you?
Yeah, I guess you feel
versus
that.
TV, which is like you just do it and it's
No, but there's a gap with TV too. I mean, it's a less of a gap,
you know,
but it's still like a month or a couple of months sometimes. And then now like...
But it looks like the films could be a year or more.
Yeah.
From the time you shoot
it. Or never
it.
Too. Like, you know, or if never. You're making something, you don't
That's
know if it's
weird.
Ever going to get... Seeing, I mean, most stuff now you can find, I guess, but, you know, if you're doing something independent, it's got to then be picked up by a distributor.
Hmm.
And then, you know, then they sort of, they're responsible for releasing it however they want to. But I like both, yeah.
Where were you in your career when you got pregnant the first time?
I was doing Once Upon a Time. I think I was probably on season. No, I was doing season, we just started season... 5. Yeah, we just started season 5 of Once Upon a Time.
And then your character wasn't pregnant?
No. I literally found out on the drive up. My fiance and I drove up to Vancouver that time because, you know, it's nice to have a car up there, so we'd leave one of the cars up there.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I found out, but I didn't tell them until I was 12 weeks. So I was shooting for... whatever, you know, 3 months.
So on Lost, you were not pregnant, but your character was.
Yes.
On Once Upon a Time, you were pregnant, but your character wasn't.
But they made her pregnant.
Later.
The timing didn't quite work. they wrote it, so I'm like, oh, hey, okay, 12 weeks, right, rolls around. It was perfect timing because I was just about to start filming this totally Belle-centric, my character Belle episode, all me. Lots of stuff. They had me doing all these things. I'm like, oh, God. And then the dates came up, and I'm like, oh, perfect. I can tell them literally the day before. FYI, don't put me in that boat. But So they're like, oh, cool, that's awesome. You know, super supportive. Adam and Eddie, who created it, they're great friends, awesome guys, whatever. They're like, well, we'll let you know if we're going to, you know, hide it or write it in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, cool, great. You know, thinking it'd be so fun to actually play your pregnancy.
Right, yeah.
Having, like you said, done it so much on Lost and like really played the physicality of it on Lost too. Birthing twice.
Right. So let's hold on for 1 second. Just go to Lost first. Birthing twice.
Well, because it was all these sideways flashes and back flashbacks.
Oh, once on the island and once in
once on a rock, a very large rock, the birthing rock, the black rock.
The birthing rock.
And, and then once like backstage at a concert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so but then you had never been pregnant. You didn't.
Right. So it was all just research and kind of honestly just going with what I thought my body would do, which apparently worked out pretty well.
Well, how do you research?
Just watching.
Watching
births.
Actual birth videos?
Yeah.
And seeing how people.
Yeah. Well, there's no point watching like a, you know, rom-com birth.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
It's here, bubbly. And it's got like a little bit of jam on its head. Like, that's what we use, though, actually. We rub the babies with jam and cream cheese.
Oh, there's real babies.
Yeah.
So
they pop out from under your skirt.
Like, I wonder how you auditioned for that role.
I don't think they have to do too much.
No?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
They just have to like lick the cream cheese.
And not be too sensitive to dairy.
Yeah, right.
Do you also work with like professionals when you're getting ready for to no?
You well
to just make sure
I don't know. I mean, I didn't, and it wasn't offered to me. Not that I'm upset about it, but I'm sure if you were doing a big budget studio film and it was revolving around a woman's pregnancy and birth, they would probably hire someone to maybe, I don't know.
But you didn't know. You just watched some videos and you're like, yeah,
I
can do it on the rock. I can do it at a concert. I can do it. It's like sort of, I will not eat green eggs and ham.
Yeah, exactly.
I read this random fact. Claire loved peanut butter, but you're allergic to peanut butter.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I think they had peanut butter on set, and then they had to switch it out for whatever, cashew.
Are you not allergic to other nut butters?
No, I'm not.
Really, just peanut?
Well, peanuts are not a nut. They're a
legume.
A legume. Mm. Legume?
I don't know, because you said
French. Do you say legume?
Dravin? Do you say dravin?
I say legume.
Legume. I don't know. I don't really say it ever.
They're not a nut, though. So, yeah.
I say donut.
Donut.
That's my favorite kind of nut.
Ooh, I should get donuts. Mm. Sounds good right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, but Once Upon a Time was a whole other thing. They decided to write, in a nutshell, they decided to write it in, told me that, kind of actually not long after I told them I was pregnant. And I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. And then I keep getting scripts, and it's not in
it's
there.
It's not there.
I keep getting bigger. I'm like, oh, okay. I think I was about 7 months pregnant, 6.5 months, 7 months pregnant. Like super, you could obviously tell I was pregnant. And it was written in, and I had to do this scene with Robert Carlyle, who was like Rumpelstiltskin / the Beast, my lover, Mr. Gold, many people. But
yeah.
The baby daddy, being like, he's told me because he's, I don't know, he saw it in a magic ball or something. He's like, you're pregnant. I'm like, what? As my stomach's literally, like my belly is touching him. I think we got one take out with not cracking up. And I'm holding another character's infant over my belly.
Oh, that's funny.
That was funny. So that, yeah. And then I had to pad myself a little bit after.
Because you had the baby.
To then come back the next season and give birth to the baby.
That's
yeah.
crazy. So you first played a pregnant woman without having been pregnant. You gave birth twice without ever having given birth. Then you are pregnant but not playing a pregnant woman until they write in your pregnancy and you're almost done being pregnant, and then you come back.
Yeah, what's next?
Play the pregnant woman while you're postpartum.
Yeah. Yeah. At least they didn't have me doing it too long. That was my biggest fear. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to come back with a 3-month-old and have to, that would be, can you imagine? Just like feeling like you're getting your body back again. You're not pregnant. And you're like, here's your pregnancy belly. They didn't really do that. It was only very brief. So.
You're not going to believe it. It's time for our first break.
Oh
our,
my God.
Our only break. We're going to come right back with Emily Dravin. Dravin. Dravin? How would you say it?
You can pick one if you like. Dravin is how I say it.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Emily Dravin on the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and we're continuing our chat with the lovely and talented Aussie, Emily Duravin. Talk to me about pregnancy. So we talked a little bit how you were just acting while you were pregnant, but how was pregnancy, you know, first of all, how did you find out?
With my first pregnancy, yeah. How did I find out? Just took a test. Yeah, we were actively trying. Not crazy making trying, but yeah, trying. It stems from, so we drove up, it was on the drive up from LA to Vancouver mm-hmm. for filming like whatever, the season 5 of Once Upon a Time. And Eric, my fiance, we stopped and we stayed overnight somewhere and he's like, I think you might be pregnant. Your boobs look bigger. And I'm like, no, they don't. They don't look any different, which they didn't to me at all. Mm. And you know your own body pretty well. I was like, whatever. And then, you know, the next couple of days, I think we stopped at that cool place that they shot The Shining at.
Wow.
That lodge. Can't think what it's called, but that place is awesome. And we ate something really yummy, but I just felt so sick and went threw up in the toilet. I'm like, okay, it was a bad throw up. It was not like, and that's not me. I don't throw up at all. Like, I've got a good non-gag reflex. So.
Does that make you think maybe?
Yeah, so then I was like, okay, yeah. We should keep feeling sick, we're just driving. Let's stop and get a test. So I went into whatever Walgreens pharmacy and did it in the bathroom.
Oh, wow. So, and it was positive.
And yeah, yeah. Huh.
So I'm trying to picture that moment when you came out to tell me.
I'm like running out, like, yeah. Oh, no, I think I tried to hide it for a minute, which is so hard. I'm horrible at that. I think I was probably like.
You're an actor.
Oh, get in the car. Yeah, so. And then I just started smiling. Yeah. So that was that.
Well, he knows your body.
Yeah.
Better than you.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe my boobs.
Parts, yeah. Some parts. I guess you were excited. Did you immediately wonder how that would affect work? Greeting.
Totally not my first thought.
You're planning anyway.
I can't speak because I'm pregnant now. I've lost all ability.
I'm sorry.
A little bit, but I also, so Ginny Goodwin, who you just mentioned in our earlier section, who was on the show with me, had her first pregnancy and her son during filming too. And I'd seen, and I knew
it's
that
doable.
It was also like, optimal time to be able to be pregnant while you're working.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's very rare to be able to, especially now, things have changed. It used to be different. They used to kind of hire people when they were pregnant. Now it's very hard to actually acquire a new job.
Is that because of liability or something?
It's a full-on liability thing, which I understand.
Yeah, because I would think from discrimination it would go the other way. People are like a little more touchy about it.
Yeah, but think about, you know, if you were to go into really early labor, something goes wrong, then your entire production
comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah. So, you know, to be able to work through it was amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, and just was excited, and it was more. It's just that time, which I'm sure is for everyone, of wanting to tell everyone right away, but obviously not. So waiting until, you know, the sort of quote unquote safe time of 12 weeks comes up.
How did it feel compared to what you thought it would be like, pregnancy?
I don't know. I never really thought how I would physically feel. I mean, I've wanted to have a child since I was like 6 years old. Earliest memories. I used to write a journal every day, and I have it written down in super early journals.
You have no younger siblings. Do you Mm-mm. think, did it come from there?
I don't know. I never really felt like I missed out, though,
Did you like the changes of pregnancy on your body?
I did, yeah. And because, though, because I've always wanted to be a mom. Like, I love what I do for a job. I love a lot of things about my life. But I knew I'd always wanted to be a mom from the get-go. So whatever came with it kind of thing was fine mm-hmm. and wonderful. And I had a pretty, pretty good pregnancy. I was a little nauseous for, you know, I don't know, a few weeks, a month,
maybe.
Well, there
was that moment at the lodge.
There was the moment at the lodge, the shining lodge. But, I probably only threw up. I don't even think I threw up another time, maybe one other time. Hmm. But I felt pretty nauseous for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, because I wasn't throwing up didn't mean I didn't feel like it. So that was, and it was working. Mm-hmm. So I'd be in the bathroom in my trailer and be like, it's time to go. No one's knowing. They're probably thinking, I don't know, whatever. Just being lame.
Give you a little space.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a big relief to be able to tell people. They're like, oh, that's why you've been really slow getting out of your trailer.
Yeah.
You're not being like a diva suddenly. You're feeling like throwing up. But I really didn't have any major aches and pains or anything to complain about too much the first time at all, really. I mean, a little bit of like restless leg syndrome.
That's uncomfortable.
That kind of sucks, especially when you're trying to sleep. But magnesium helped that, so I started taking that a lot. And I mean, like a little bit of back pain, but nothing too crazy. And just I'm not a weight gainer when I'm pregnant. Like, it's all just the baby
belly. Yeah, it looks fake. So it looks like the lost bump.
It's a little hard lump.
It looks actually a little less real than the one from Lost.
That one I used to think was a little too big. We used to always joke about how many are really in there. Luckily, they had the baby come out and it was quite big. So
it's like cream cheese
and
jelly.
She makes big babies. So I physically was great. And luckily for them, it worked too. So you could put like a little coat on me and you shoot me from behind or, you know, belly up. You can't really tell.
You can't tell that you're pregnant. Just a lot of upper body shots.
Exactly.
When did you start thinking about birth?
Like active? I mean, from the get-go. And I've always just sort of thought not too intensely about it, but just, I'll be going to the hospital, you know. I kind of figured that hospitals would have been like they are in Australia.
How is that?
Honestly, which is a lot of them have a birth center in the hospital.
Oh, so birthing. Like more of a natural birthing center.
Yeah, but it's in the hospital. So you're going to the hospital, but it's you would only transfer into a different kind of room with all the, you know, doctor stuff and that's so eloquent.
It's medical terminology.
If there was something that needed addressing or afterwards if the baby needed help or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's every hospital there, but, you know, a lot of them. Like my mom had me in one of those. Anyway, so I kind of thought that. And then the closer I got, I guess I thought about it a little more. I was going to birth at at Cedars here,
mm-hmm.
and you know, went there, and I don't have like a fear of hospitals, but they're also not my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like,
oh, there's
people.
Infections everywhere. You know, that would be my thing. If like, oh, I have to walk the baby through.
I think people sometimes feel safe giving birth, or medically safe, but very few people, it's their happy place.
I know, that's the thing, and that was the struggle I had. So I'm like, okay, you've obviously got every medical intervention at your fingertips, right? Fantastic, but I also don't want to be pushed into something that I don't need.
Pushed is a funny way to put it.
Yes, I know. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, because I didn't know how I was going to feel. You know, I wanted to have a natural birth. I wanted to have a natural vaginal birth. I didn't plan on having a C-section or an epidural or anything.
Oh, so, but for you, because natural means different things for different people. You just mean unmedicated vaginal.
Yeah.
I'll go into labor and push my kid out.
Yes. So that was what I wanted to do, and I don't know, when I finished working up in Vancouver when I was about 34 weeks.
Oh, like 33? Close to the end.
33, I think, something like that. Yeah, and was done working, right? So I came back down to LA and just kind of thought about it more and thought about, well, hang on, why, if everything's good at this point, there's nothing wrong. My baby's head down. I mean, everything seems, you know, on track.
Yeah.
Why am I going to a hospital? And what led me to start thinking about that was watching The Business of Being Born.
Oh, of course. Like, she gets everybody,
of
that
course.
Ricky Lake.
She gets everyone. Damn,
yeah, maybe I could just give birth in my bathtub.
I'm not moving.
Yeah.
So I flipped.
I watched it and thought I could give birth in a bathtub. That's how convincing it is.
It has not happened yet, but you know.
Yeah, I don't really fit in my bathtub. Yeah, it's fine.
So that kind of, no, it really just got me questioning why not do this, you know, at a birth center or at home. And so I started looking into all of my options. I had a few, I don't know, nothing major against birthing at home, but I felt more comfortable. I had a really great, where we were living at the time, a really great birth center very close by. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of the best of both worlds. I feel a little bit safer than being at home, right by the hospital, like right by a hospital there as well as a backup.
Yeah.
And just felt, I don't know, also just like silly things of like, oh, I don't want to have to clean up afterwards.
A lot of people say that.
You know, even though, you know, now I know the midwives do that for you and everything. But, you know, like not knowing though and just thinking maybe it would be nice because it's so close to just go in and just come quick trip home.
Yeah.
And, you know, not around the animals and stuff and blah, blah.
At your house.
Yeah.
No,
maybe
no
a better bathtub. I don't know.
They do have an amazing bathtub.
They do. So that became the plan. I flipped everything really late on.
Yeah,
like 34
weeks.
Yeah.
It's like the latest that they'll even take
you. They were like, well, we can just take you. So kind of crammed in, you know, acquainting myself with all the midwives and got myself a doula and
How'd your labor start?
On her due date.
Wow, that's pretty
rare. And it started pretty abruptly, I guess, kind of early morning, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And it was, I thought, oh, this is what they're going to be like. This is what the contractions are going to be like. I have this. This is great. Like, it's painful, but I got it.
So
wow,
doable.
This is so cool. Yeah. This is happening. This is great. Everything's good. Calling the doula. She's like, well, you know, I'm not coming right yet, but, you know, coming a little bit. And so just kind of kept in touch with her. And then it just switched to the most agonizing pain I've ever had in my life.
How
which
far
I
into
found
it?
Probably about not too long, probably like a couple of hours into it.
And still not
be like 3 hours. No, that was when I'm like, you need to come. Because it was, I didn't know then, but long story short, was in back labor for probably about 8 hours after that.
So you were feeling that intensity more in your back than in the front?
Oh, nothing in the front.
It was
at
all in
it
your
was
back.
Just 100% felt like my
Did it feel
back
like it
was going to snap in
half.
Oh, yeah,
that's what people say with back
it's
labor.
It's just never, and never, I don't know if it would be any different if I had, but never have had any kind of back issues or like there's nothing I could relate it to. Just like, and I didn't really know, and neither did my doula really either. You can't, I mean, to be for sure that that's what is happening, I guess, right away. I thought, oh my God, this is just, you know, I thought it kind of I don't know, it made me feel a little upset with myself for a minute before I realized that it was back labor. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it was so much stronger and that I could do this. But then, so obviously
not. But that's not the typical labor
right.
sensation or
right.
pattern.
So, and I was still, anyway, whatever, 8-9 hours later, I was still just 1 centimeter.
Oh, wow.
Because you went
to the birth center?
I finally was able to go and get checked. Well, that was the other thing. I had my midwife, who was on call with someone else.
Oh.
And so I was trying to figure out, you know, where do we meet? What do we do? And anyway, I finally got to see her, and she's like, you're still 1 centimeter.
No.
And she suggested that she's like, your body's going to give up at this point. You know,
having back labor.
Yeah, it was still full on. That was the worst car ride of my life. Even though it was close, that was just, I thought I was going to jump out of the car every traffic light and just labor on the side of the road. But no, she suggested going to the hospital and going with my backup doctor and getting an epidural because there was nothing she could do.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And my backup doctor was the most wonderful man in the world, who I want him to adopt me, Dr. Wu.
He just retired.
I know. I'm very upset at him mm-hmm. for just retiring.
You're not the only one. He has a fan club of...
He was literally the first person I thought of when I got pregnant this time. I'm like, Dr. Wu, I've got to make sure he's still delivering.
Oh, you didn't know he had retired?
No, because Vera was... My daughter was, I guess, in his last year of delivering.
Yeah, he just stopped a year ago.
Yeah, so...
I mean, he's in his 80s.
I know, but he's so good, and he cares so much. And
yeah, he's all heart.
Love letters to Dr. Wu. That'll be my new book. My first book. My only book.
How did the birth finish off?
He's just amazing, and he was able to let me have a full-on vaginal birth. He just had to turn her a little bit and open me, and he did everything he could.
When you say
that,
you mean with his hands?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did everything manually and just let me have the birth that I wanted. I mean, you know, minus the epidural and minus the hospital. But at the same time, you can plan, and this was always kind of my feeling, even though I do want to be in control of especially something like your birth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, and that's just life, and you've got to go with whatever makes the most sense and the healthiest and the safest for your baby and for you, and you know.
Couldn't agree more. So, after supporting so many people through pregnancy and birth, it just became abundantly clear to me that if you have a birth plan, it has to be comprehensive. This page one is like, this is my ideal. This is what I'd like it to be like if I can pick any kind of birth I want. And that's like the most natural birth you could want for yourself. Maybe it's out in the strawberry field with nobody around you. Maybe it's at home with a midwife or at home with an obstetrician, which happens to be a choice here in LA, or at a hospital with a midwife. Maybe it's medicated or unmedicated or vaginal or cesarean. It doesn't matter. It's not our birth plan. It's your birth plan.
Yeah.
But that's page one. There always has to be a flowchart of like, but if this happens or that happens.
Exactly. And I think the danger, which I didn't get into, and I'm glad I didn't. Maybe if I'd had longer and I'd been planning like a birth plan that was not just going to the hospital earlier on, I think I could have been in danger of that, of falling in love with a specific situation and then freaking out if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I see that a lot.
Yeah, because as much as you can have an idea, I think that's beautiful and wonderful, but I also... knowing myself, I kind of don't want to do that. And I haven't actively done that this time for that reason, because I don't want to be upset if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I want to just let things happen, you know, like pick your location, that kind of helps. But, you know, and the people you want around you. But even that, like your doctor or your midwife, something could happen, you know, then there might have to be someone else on call.
Absolutely.
So I think it's just been open to looking for alts if you need them, like looking for backup, making sure you have a backup plan is probably the most important thing that you're happy with.
It's the flowchart. You have to think through all the steps ideally and have a plan that you're comfortable with each step of the way.
Yeah.
So now you're getting close to giving birth again.
I am. I don't
flash
have
forward.
Long.
Dr. Wu has retired. what's
it's
your
not
plan?
Okay.
It's not okay. What's your plan this time around?
My plan this time, well, we just moved. My plan initially was to try and do the same birth center that I was initially planning to have Vera at. And so I started my appointments with them, and then we moved, like physically moved house to a totally different part of town, and that just didn't make sense, in my opinion. So I spoke with this guy, Elliot Berlin.
Oh.
Oh, wait.
Don't believe anything he says.
No, we had a really good chat about, you know, home birth and because I was so set on a birth center because it was my plan. That was my sort of plan one. And then a hospital backup, right? Mm-hmm. With, unfortunately, not Dr. Wu, but with someone who's, I'm sure, just as awesome. But I then really opened my mind to that because the pros just seem to really outweigh other options. And I'm really excited about, you know, planning to do it at home, but mm-hmm. again, being open to the alts, to open to having, you know, a great backup doctor that in case, which God, knock on wood, and I am going to knock on that table even though you told me not to, knock on wood that I'm not in back labor again, that I, you know, therefore not needing or desiring at all have any kind of epidural.
Did you find out last time if the baby was sitting on your spine? Like, was the baby's skull against your spine and sacrum? Because, I mean, oftentimes it's what causes back labor.
Yeah, she was, because he had to turn her a little bit. But no, it wasn't that much. It wasn't a full turn.
Hmm. But by that time, because how long had you had the epidural for before she came?
Probably not that long, No, probably was like 3 hours.
Yeah, so it could be already started to rotate.
Because I had to go from 1 centimeter. I was just not dilating because she was not pressing on my cervix at all.
Yeah. How quick did the epidural kick in for you?
Pretty fast. That's a weird thing. It was wonderful. And I mean, I see why they are such a wonderful, you know, thing for people. I probably would not have been able to. Let's just say if I had a different doctor and a different hospital and a different situation, I probably would have been a very easy candidate to be swayed to have a C-section, which was my, like, unless the baby was in distress, unless something was horrible, there was no way I wanted to have a C-section. No desire. I mean, of course, if it's what you have to do it.
Sure.
So I think they're great for that. I mean, I feel like I missed out a little bit. Because as much as, not that I enjoyed the back labor, but, you know, you go from feeling, even though it's a different feeling to what, you know, actual delivery would be, it's just gone, mm-hmm. you know. And, I mean, I did everything I could to try and be as present, you know, eyes holding her head, and I had a mirror. I'm like, make sure, I'm like, kept yelling at people, make sure the mirror's right there.
Oh, to watch her come out?
To watch her, yeah. And
were you able to reach down and help guide her up?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Are you, for home birth, are you thinking water or land?
I'm hoping land or water is the only options, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
Air.
Thinking floating in air.
Acrobatics.
You do have that ballet background.
I do.
With the gymnastics.
My trapeze has been ordered.
True.
Water would be cool. I mean, that's the plan. Get, you know,
when you were in labor
tub.
With the back, breaking labor the first time. That you described, had you gotten into a bath?
Yeah.
And was that not helpful?
I was doing literally everything.
Nothing helped.
I was, my doula, I said, look, I will do anything. We had a lot of stairs at the house. I was up and down the stairs. I was doing inversions. I was upside down. I was in the bath. I was using we're unpacking my breast pump and using that to try and
stimulate more contractions.
Well, I'm like on the toilet. I was literally doing.
Sounds like a busy day.
It was busy.
Oh, yeah. I have a question.
Eating, trying to eat, if that would, ain't literally anything.
I have so many more questions. Is Vera going to come to the birth?
Well, she'll, yeah, I mean, the plan is for her to be.
Is it at your house?
Yeah. she does still live with us, so.
She does, yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't moved out yet.
Have you?
And my mom, hopefully, will be out from Australia.
Oh, that's nice.
The plan
is
to have her.
Is there a doula this time as well, or no doula?
I'm still deciding. Mm. I'm still
not that
deciding.
Much time left.
No, I know. I know. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know.
Hmm.
Nope. I loved having a doula. It's not that I didn't enjoy the experience either. I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's something about it I'm just unsure about.
How did you find out you were pregnant this time? I'm all over the
My
place.
My daughter told me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
She said, Mom, your boobs look way different.
No, she didn't. No. Although we just stopped breastfeeding at the time. Although now she wants my boobs again, so that's a whole other thing. No, we were just playing with our tummies, like, I don't know, doing raspberries or something. And she's like, there's a baby in there. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, there's a baby in yours. And she's like, no.
She's like,
there's
no,
a baby
mom,
in
real.
Daddy's. No. And she's like, no, no, mom, there's a baby in yours. I was like, oh. Because we were not trying, uh-huh. but we weren't like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ovulating.
It wasn't on your mind.
It was the time that we were, you know, thinking of having another kid, for yeah. sure. Because Vera's 2.5 now, and that was sort of, you know, within that year, right? Was in our mind kind of a good time. But no, but it totally explained why I was a super cranky Emily for like the 2 months prior to that, because I was nearly 8 weeks.
Wow.
Which doesn't sound like much, but it's far.
No,
I mean, I found
to
out.
Find
with,
out then
yeah.
today, most people find out.
Oh, five. Well, really I found out quick. With Vera like 5 weeks. Yeah. 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 So
do you weren't nauseous on throwing? You were cranky.
I was just really cranky. I was the same with her. I was the first sort of 10 weeks, incredibly, let's say the first 3 months,
mm-hmm.
just incredibly irritable and cranky and impatient, and it just
lit. It's kind of all the opposites of what I know,
but it,
the
it,
Emily I know.
Oh, that's nice.
Truth.
But it just lifted, and it's the same with her. It just lifted literally the next morning, whatever, 3 months in, just lifted, and I felt back to normal, and it hasn't come back, that feeling. But she also told me what I was having.
She did?
Yeah, because I just thought, oh, of course I'm going to have another girl. I had in my head that I'd always have a daughter, which I do, but I don't know, I just didn't think I'd have a boy. And so I just automatically was like, oh, there's a little girl in there. She'd be like, oh, little girl. No, mommy, it's a little boy.
Wow.
For like a couple of weeks, because, you know, you have to wait for, 10 weeks to do that first big panel where they can tell you.
The gender.
Yeah.
Does she ever talk about, like, numbers? Like, 5 numbers and a Powerball number? Because she is pretty intuitive.
She is. We're starting up the clairvoyant workshops with Vera.
She can do like her own little, you know, online. All right. I do have a question, though. What comfort measures, because, you know, you're going to plan to labor and give birth at home. What comfort measures do you have in mind for your home birth, for labor?
Water is a big one because, you know, you were asking if I labored at all in water, and I did, and that did feel the best for sure, even with back labor. I didn't have a terribly comfortable tub.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those like really cool, like, you know, 1915.
Oh, like
tubs.
The tub that's built into your place.
You yeah, didn't have, like, yeah. A no, I tub. Didn't have no with my first. No, no. I didn't have
because you were planning
that
to go
been
the center.
To go to the birth
yeah.
center. So no, I would like to ideally fill up the birthing tub like earlier on.
Yeah, sure.
And I also have a pool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to go in after your water's broken.
Sure.
But prior to that,
yeah.
As long as I can tell when it's breaking if you're in
no,
water.
That's
interesting. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell.
While you're in water that
if,
your water
yeah,
broke?
Yeah, I asked my midwife that and she said she thinks.
I think you'll know.
Yeah.
Because I see people laboring in water in the birth tub and they usually know when their water breaks.
Yeah. So
I think you'll know. I've been to a couple of home births where mama was just swimming around or moving around in water.
Yeah.
And in their pool. In their pool.
Yeah. Well, that's kind
of
the plan.
One of them,
water.
So beautiful, like at the top of the Hollywood Hills on this totally dark night with a full moon.
Oh.
And she was just laboring out there.
That's pretty.
Incredible vision still.
That's
image
really
in my mind.
Yeah.
So water, any other?
Water and just peace. I mean, really,
do you meditate?
There's.
Do you meditate?
I don't know. I guess I kind of do my own form, but not technical meditation. No, I just want to feel. I just want to. That's why I do like the idea of home right now. You know, I just
that is your comfy spot.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and you know, I like the idea of, you know, Vera being there and my mom being there and it just being, you know, simple. Simplifying for me, just for Emily in general, regardless of birth, is always a good thing. So trying to not overthink things and trying to not overplan things too much. You know, I think having massage really helped me through the back labor a lot.
From your doula?
From my doula, mm-hmm. yeah, and from my fiancé. Just, you know, that was just something that really helped.
I mean, that tends,
mentally probably
for
more
back
than
labor,
physically.
That tends to be, I think that tends to be one of the most helpful tools because that sacrum is getting pushed so hard
so
back
tight.
And you feel like it's going to break and a little counter pressure, a little massage around it can go a long way unless you're too sensitive to be touched.
Just that and just being peaceful and just, you know, we have dogs, take them to the daycare so that it's just, I don't want to hear barking dogs.
Yeah, sometimes they freak out while you're in labor too.
Yeah, or if there's, yeah, just if there's noises
they get
or
anxious.
Different people.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Jewish dogs. I don't know.
Maybe. And beagles. No, I just don't want to hear dogs howling.
Aside from the fact that you don't like sponges in America.
What?
Is that not true?
That what?
You don't like our sponges?
I don't like your sponges?
Like in the kitchen, our little scouring, scrubby things?
I don't dislike them.
You don't?
No. I mean, they're not quite as abrasive as the Aussie
See?
Ones.
I knew you were
is
critical.
Is that the common criticism of the American sponges?
Yeah, the Aussie sponges are better at getting grime off the pots.
Maybe that's why. Every time my mom comes out, she always brings me
sponges. She brings me
sponges. Yeah. She's probably like, oh, God, I can't. I'm not going to clean up the kitchen without my sponges.
When she comes, she's coming.
Yeah.
She's here yet.
No. She's going to ideally
caramel koalas? That's... I forgot she's coming.
I will ask
I will
her.
Come rub your back for a
Only
few minutes
if
I can get
for
some,
how many bags?
Yeah, whatever. Just even a handful. It's just the first bite. Well, we've done it.
Oh.
Anything else that I didn't ask that you're like, you should ask this?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many things. You asked really good questions.
I feel lucky. I get to chat with you all the time. And
well, that's the thing, though. It's funny because we do talk a lot.
Yeah.
Not on this. So it's like, what did we talk about that was not on this?
Yeah. No, it's just, I love chatting with you. I love your perspective. I think you have this great energy and it's inspiring. Like, you're just naturally come off very positive and you're just like, I think a lot of people, what I see after the birth that you had the first time when you described it as this incredible backbreaking labor pain that was intolerable. And you're like, yep, I'm going to try it again. You know? I like that you get up and you're like, I feel like I missed out on something. I want to give it another try. Different setting, different baby. Let's see how it goes.
And it's interesting, though, because it's given me to – I mentioned this to you actually last week. Part of me is like, oh, God, do I want a hospital birth again? Because that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't even popped into my head until like last week. I'm like, oh, God, maybe I want that because, you know, that's all I've ever experienced. Not that it was, you know, what I quote-unquote wanted, but – it worked out and she was healthy and everything was fine. So I don't know. I guess in a good way, that experience has opened me up to being open to whatever will happen, as opposed to having some sort of perfect, you know, pop into the birth center, easy car ride, pop baby out in an hour, and then have a problem a second time. I guess I'm glad in hindsight that I went through a little bit of something that, you know, jogged the plan, so to speak, and turned it on its head in a positive way.
Yeah. And you know, you still have that, right? You still have a birth plan that's comprehensive. Your vision, your plan A, the way you want it to go down now is ideally that you'll go into labor, hop in a tub and have your baby at home.
Have baby at home.
But
and
you
then,
still have plans in case you need to.
Yeah.
For any reason, switch over care to a doctor.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, who knows? Something may need to change in the next few weeks because maybe something is like, oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm he, because he's a boy, he's head down and he seems to be great. But, you know, I guess you never know. So.
Well, I will say this. Perhaps, because now we're all curious about how it's going to go. Hopefully you'll come back afterwards and share the new story.
Yeah, are you kidding? I would love to.
Amazing.
I would love to with more chocolates. And
yes, okay.
Well, they're going to force feed you Vegemite.
Oh, man.
You're only allowed to have the caramel koalas if you eat Vegemite.
I like rosy cheeks, so who knows?
See?
Emily, thanks a million for being here. What you mentioned this Instagram thing. How do we find you on there?
You can find me. So it's my name. So Emily.
But you spell it funny.
So it's E-M-I. Yeah, E-M-I. It's not funny. It's French.
You spell it Frenchy.
It's Emily, E-M-I-L-I-E, then D-E, and then there's an underscore R-A-V-I-N.
Not
and
E-M.
I have the little blue tick because there's a lot of people that
There's a lot of fake Emily Derovins.
Yeah. It's a lot of, I was just looking at them right now, and they use your face. So it's, anyway, the little blue tick helps.
That seems to be wrong. thanks again. I really appreciate your being here and sharing your story.
No, are you kidding? Anytime. I loved it.
At home, thanks for listening to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or someone from TV you'd like us to badger, send your suggestions to info@informedpregnancy.com and visit us online for lots more pregnancy and parenting media at informedpregnancy.com.
I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.